be here. Delighted to be here. Thank you so much, Harlan Church Christ, for supporting Temple Valley Christian Mission. I believe the school supports us. There was a big, came in really strong with the uniform drive we did last year, and we're just excited about partnering with this congregation, hopefully turn that up a notch as we go forward. I want to introduce very quickly part of our team. Rachel Johnson, stand up please, Rachel. This is Rachel Johnson. She's our director of the Living Proof program that that video is about. And then Boomer Cowell, and of course Ken and the kids are here. I think a lot of you know Boomer. Boomer's our director of U.S. operations. So he does everything, so I can just sit and look out the window. But my name is Al Serhall, and I'm the executive director of Hippo Valley Christian Mission. And Hippo Valley Christian Mission, for those who don't know, is one of the great missions in the history of the Restoration Movement. Hippo Valley Christian Mission began in 1956. It was founded by John Pemberton and Dr. Dennis Pruitt. John Pemberton was a prisoner of war in World War II. He was a young man from Gary, Indiana, who found himself in the war. And he was in the Battle of the Bulge. He was captured at the Battle of the Bulge in a prison camp. And in that prison camp, John Pemberton thought he was going to die. And he did what I think a lot of young men did in that situation. He cried out to God. And he said, God, if you get me home, I will serve you with the rest of my life. And a couple months later, the war was over. And John came home. And though I think a lot of men made promises like that, I don't know if they all kept them. But John kept his promise. And he married his high school sweetheart, Marge. And two of them set off to Bible college. They went to Kentucky Christian College. And John was planning to train to be a preacher. He really didn't know what he was going to do, where he was going to go. He just knew he made that promise to God, and he was going to keep it. And while John was a student at Kentucky Christian College, he met another World War II veteran named Denny Cook. And Denny had made the same promise. Denny was not a POW. He was a tail gun in those planes, and he's somewhere over the South Pacific getting shot at, and he said, Lord, if you get me home, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And he honored his promise. And so John and Denny met, and I don't know if you got one of these. Rachel has some extra ones, and Boomer, if you don't have one of these, can you take a minute and just raise your hand, and they'll hand them to you? Well, then you got some more. Okay, there's a few that's got so far. But anyway, if you have this, you can look at your name. There's a picture of this little brochure right here. That's John and Danny when they were two young guys, two war vets, students in Bible college. Really not knowing where they're going to go, what they're going to do. They just made that promise to God. And what happened, it was obviously a divine thing. But one of them got the idea to take a bus trip to Toronto, Canada to attend a World Mission Fair. And while they were at the World Mission Fair in Toronto, Canada, they met a man named Garfield Todd, who was Prime Minister of Rhodesia in Africa. Now today, Rhodesia is called Zimbabwe in Africa. You say, why would the Prime Minister of Rhodesia be at the World Mission Fair in Toronto, Canada? Well, Garfield Todd, before he was Prime Minister, was a Church of Christ missionary from New Zealand, who had been doing mission work in Rhodesia. And because he was Prime Minister, he needed to bring someone in to take up that mission work. And so these three men met, Garfield Todd, John Pemberton, and Denny Pruitt. And the rest is history. He invited them to come, and in 56, the Pembertons moved up to southern Rhodesia to a place called Mashoko to start this mission. The Crook family came 2 years later after Denny finished up his medical training. He went to Bible college and then he went through medical school, became a brilliant medical doctor, missionary doctor. So in 56, they started the mission with a simple philosophy: reach the whole person for Christ, body, mind, soul. The body through healthcare. Dr. Pruitt built a little health clinic there in Shoko. Tens of thousands of people around the Shoko. There was no medical, there was no school, there was no church, nothing. The Pembertons built a school to teach the children reading and writing and about Jesus. And there in that school, they started the church for the soul. The body, the mind, and the soul. That simple philosophy has driven this mission now coming up upon 70 years. Today, nearly 70 years later, Hippo Valley Christian Mission has 29 mission schools. We have currently over 20,000 kids enrolled in our mission schools. And over the past 70 years, something like 600,000 or 700,000 kids have come through these mission schools. This is one of the great missions in the history of the Restoration Movement, because Zimbabwe is one of the most evangelized countries in all of Africa. And when it comes to the Church of Christ, it is very strong in Zimbabwe because of this great mission. 29 mission schools. We have an orphan ministry that we started somewhere around the year 2000 to address the HIV epidemic that just ravaged sub-Saharan Africa. We raised hundreds of kids through that orphan ministry. We have health clinics. It's a fantastic mission, reaching the whole person for Christ. The body, the mind, through our mission schools, about 10, 11 years ago, we started this program called Living Proof, where we go into our mission schools, starting with the primary schools, the elementary schools, and we look for kids who are bright kids with a great attitude, but come from extremely poor families. Now, Zimbabwe is one of the poorest countries on earth, one of the two or three poorest countries on earth. So these kids are the poorest of the poor. And we invest in these kids. We call them Living Proof children. And we form these clubs. And these clubs meet twice a week. And at these club meetings, the kids get a protein drink. And they get great Bible lessons with the New Testament plan of salvation. And so we have two patrons and chaplains in every one of our schools working with these Living Proof clubs. We invest in these kids. They get a t-shirt. Every year for Christmas, they get a brand new school uniform from their sponsor and through our uniform drive. And you can't imagine what that means to these kids. These kids who've never even had shoes before be able to walk into school with a complete uniform. It just transforms their attitude. And we are investing in these kids, teaching these kids, discipling these kids. We are raising up a future army of leaders through this Living Proof program. And from there, we have a Living Proof Life School that we opened coming up on 3 years ago now. It is a premier private boarding school. Now, we've got four or five high schools in our mission school system, but this is a premier private boarding school where these kids, an opportunity these kids never would have dreamed of, to be able to actually go to a premier boarding school with Cambridge curriculum. I mean, the uniforms for these kids in this boarding school cost $700. That's a lot in Africa. But we currently have over 600 kids in high school through this Living Proof program. We have about 200 in the Living Proof High School. And again, we are raising up a future army of leaders, investing in them. And from there, we are pointing them to Central Africa Christian College. That's our Bible college. Central Africa Christian College started in 1958. John Pemberton started it, and we've trained hundreds and hundreds of preachers. 2 years ago, we actually were able to get an official degree. Before that, we only had a diploma program. Now we have a degree program. And by next year, we're planning to, in fact, we will be able to offer a teacher education degree. So we are training preachers, and we are training school teachers who also have a degree in Bible. So we are training doctrinally sound preachers and teachers. And that is the mission of Central Africa Christian College. Our vision is to train the hundreds who will reach the thousands. Now, out at the table today, we've got Rachel will be out there, and Boo will be out there, and Kim will be out there. And we want some of you to sign up to sponsor our kids and deliver it through a program. We start with them second, third, fourth grade. And there's a QR code that's there on that, that handout. There's one right up there right now. And you can do it while I'm preaching. I don't care. You can do it while I'm preaching if you want to sign up. But if you sign up today to be a Living Proof sponsor, if you sign up today, and only today, you'll receive one of these t-shirts, just like they have. And just so you know, we used to just have brown shirts. And then Rachel, when Rachel started running our program, one day she said, I want to talk about the t-shirts. She said, they're boring. She said, we need to have t-shirts with fun colors. I believe that was her word. So now we have t-shirts with fun colors. So we have the camel, the first one. Look at that shirt. Put them on a chair. People need to see that shirt. We have camel shirts now. And these are the real deal. That real tree. So you can get one of those. If you sign up today, and only today, you can get one of these t-shirts. The Living Proof program is $30 a month. It's $30 a month. And you'll be matched up with one of the children in our mission school. And you can write them letters through the email. We print them out and deliver them to the kids. You'll get to know them over time, put their picture on the refrigerator and pray for them. It's $30 a month. 10 of that $30 goes into the Living Proof Scholarship Fund so that when the child reaches high school age, we can put them in high school. Like I said, we've got 600 kids now in high school. I'll be going over there in August. Rachel will be going over there in August to do our annual college days. We'll have 600 kids for a week of camp. It's like a big week of camp or CIY. And we baptized 44 kids last year at that program. But it's $30 a month. 10 of it goes into the Living Proof Scholarship Fund so that we can put them in high school when they reach high school age. And 20 of it runs the program. We've got four full-time employees. We've got chaplains. We've got vehicles and curriculum and protein drinks and Bibles and all of that. So it's a fantastic program. And for $30 a month, it's a dollar a day, you can sponsor one of our kids and partner with us as we partner with God. That's my challenge to you today. But I want to talk to you about missions and being a mission-minded church. Seven, 8 years ago, I got a letter. And I've never received a letter like this before. And the letter said, thanks to Cecil, we are now praying for your mission. Please accept this check for $850, and we would be interested in partnering with you in some future mission project. And it was signed Joe Pudding, Senior Minister of Tomoka Christian Church, Ormond Beach, Florida. I thought, what world is this? And sure enough, there's a check for $850. So I called our board chairman, Dave Thurman. I said, Dave, have you ever heard of the Tomoka Christian Church in Ormond Beach, Florida? And he said, yes. He said, that's a big church. They run like 3,000 people. He said, but they're really known as a great mission church. I said, wow. I said, well, have you heard of Joe Blee? He said, yeah, he's been the preacher there forever. Said, a long time. Said, they're a great mission church. I said, well, what do you think he means when he says, thanks to Cecil, we're now praying for your mission? He said, I don't know. That's weird. And then he said, hey, I'll bet he's talking about Cecil the lion. Now, some of you with good memories, you may remember about 8 or 9 years ago, there was a big news story about a dentist from Minnesota who went to Zimbabwe, Africa, and shot an old lion named Cecil. And if any of you remember that story? Sure. Why do you remember a story like that? Because it was a big deal. I mean, the media just went nuts over this story. It was CNN. It was 24 hours a day. The whole world was outraged at this dentist who went to Minnesota and shot a lion. People were traveling from Europe to Minnesota to picket this man's dental practice because they were so outraged that he shot a lion in Zimbabwe, Africa. Well, Joe Goody, the preacher, he used it as a sermon illustration. He put the picture up there, you know, on screen with the news story out of USA Today or whatever. And he said, you know, folks, right now, our world is outraged at this dentist who went to Zimbabwe and shot a lion. He said, but does anybody care about the children of Zimbabwe? Does anybody care about the people of Zimbabwe? Now, that's a good question, isn't it? It's a good point. And so because he made that sermon illustration, he thought, well, I guess we ought to be doing something for the children in Zimbabwe. And so he contacted our mission, and long story short, they're now a great partner with us. And he invited my wife and I to come and speak. Now, he wasn't as good as your preacher did. He didn't let me preach. He just let me come up there for 5 minutes, all right? But he did invite me up on stage and showed our video. And he said, folks, if you've heard me say it once, you've heard me say it 1,000 times, if you're a first world Christian, you ought to be sponsoring at least one third world child. In fact, he didn't have to finish that statement. They all finished it for him because that's one of his mantras there. If you're a first world Christian, you should be sponsoring at least one third world child. But the thing we noticed when we went to this church, this Tomoka Christian Church in Ormond Beach, Florida, is they were just nuts about missions. I mean, it was everywhere. Everywhere you walk in, you're just confronted with this giant, it's a big church, 3,000 people. But they're just all about missions. This giant map of the world with all the missions that they support in every corner, every hallway, there's TV screens with videos of mission trips that they take. They have a little coffee bar, and every week they have a different coffee from a different mission that they support. This church is just nuts about mission. They give over $4 million a year to missions. That's stuff that they live, breathe, and sing. And the reason it happens, because Joe Quinn, when he went to that church, it was just a small church of 60 people, been around forever, by these little foreign churches. 60 people. Joe went there as a young man. He went there and he made a promise to God his first week there. He said, God, as you provide the resources, we will plant a church in every country of the world until Jesus returns. That was his old faith promise. Lord, as you provide it, we're going to do it. And you know, as of 2 years ago, the Tomoka Christian Church had planted a church in over 160 countries of the world. They planted a church in every country around the world. Now, my wife and I left that weekend just convicted of this simple truth, that a great commitment to the Great Commission makes a great church. So that's my question for you today as a congregation, Harlem Church of Christ. Is your agenda God's agenda? Because I think we know what God's agenda is, don't we? God's agenda. John 3:16. For God so loved what? Say it again. The world. God loves the world. And when we, as a congregation, decide we're going to invest in the world, we're going to spread the gospel around the world that God loves, then God's going to bless that. And that means our agenda is God's agenda. And when our agenda is God's agenda, he's going to keep blessing you. He's going to keep giving you more and more and more. So my challenge to you today is to make God's agenda your agenda. So let me ask you a question. Why should we be a mission-minded church? I mean, we've got plenty of things to worry about at home. Why should we be a mission-minded church? Well, real quickly, I'm going to give you four or five because Jesus told us to. Right? Jesus told us to be mission-minded. Now, the text today, and you can open it if you want, it's Acts chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 1, we talk about the Great Commission, Matthew 28, go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teach them to observe everything I command you, and I'll be with you always to the end of the age. And Luke chapter, or Acts chapter 1, kind of Luke's version of how Jesus gave that commission to his disciples. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells them to go back to Jerusalem and wait. He said, wait, because you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So that, that's Acts chapter 1, verse 8, so that you can be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. So you see, there's the formula, church. We receive the Holy Spirit when we are baptized, right? Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Repent and be baptized, and two things will happen. Your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So that you can be his witnesses. Do you think that Christianity has lasted 2,000 years without the Holy Spirit empowering it? Of course not. It would have failed the first generation. But we've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the age, ends of the world. Jerusalem, that's right here. That's right here in our that's your community. Judea, that's the greater community. That goes out, but that may go all the way to Fort Wayne, I don't know. But that's your Judea, the county, beyond the city limits. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Samaria, that's interesting. That's the other side of the tracks, isn't it? Samaria, that's people who maybe live in Harlem, but they're different than us, right? They look different. They may vote different. They may eat different foods. We're supposed to go to Samaria. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world. And that's Africa. That's Asia. That's Central America. And that's our commission. That's God's agenda. First and foremost, we must be mission-minded because Jesus told us to. Don't ever say, well, I don't believe in missions. We've got to just take care of our own. No, that's you're disobeying the Lord. He said, go in all the world. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then you don't do what I said? If Jesus is your Lord, we have to be mission-minded. That's first. Number two, we ought to be mission-minded because all people matter. All people. Red, yellow, black, white, all are precious in this life. We all came from the same parents. He loves us all. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve who were made in his image. And God loves them all. And when we love the people the way God loves people, then his agenda is our agenda. All people matter. You know when Jesus gave these marching orders, they estimate 250 million people lived on the entire planet at that time. That's 2,000 years ago. 250 million people on the entire planet. By the year 1500 years later, the time of the invention of the printing press, the time of the Protestant Reformation, by the year 1500, they estimate 500 million people lived on planet Earth. It took 1500 years to go from 250 million to 500 million people on the planet Earth. Do you know when I was born, there were 4 billion people on the planet Earth. And today there are 8 billion people on planet Earth. It's crazy. And God loves all. And we're responsible, you see, for this generation. We're responsible to evangelize the world with our time on this earth. All people matter. They all matter to us. Number three, we ought to be mission-minded because it gives us a sense of great, great purpose. Why are we here? I mean, there's church on every corner, you know. Why do we exist? Well, certainly we exist to teach the truth and preach the truth and get lost people saved. But when you understand a part of a bigger purpose, you know, they estimate, when I say they, I mean Wall Street Journal, Barna Research Group, they estimate that by the year 2060, which isn't that far away, by the year 2060, that nearly 40% of the Earth's Christians will be living in sub-Saharan Africa. Now that's mind-boggling, but I can see it. Christianity is exploding in sub-Saharan Africa. Christianity has always moved around. Christianity began on the day of Pentecost in what city? Go on, you can say it. What city? Jerusalem. That's where it started. Jerusalem was the epicenter of Christianity at one time. Then, 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed. And Antioch of Syria became the epicenter of Christianity, that great mission church that Paul and Barnabas worked with. Go to Antioch of Syria today, and it's mostly Islam. Northern Africa, Northern Africa was the epicenter of Christianity. Some of the great thinkers, great theologians, St. Augustine of Hippo. There's a reason why Luke tells us about the Simon of Cyrene, the man who picked up the cross in Northern Africa. He tells us about the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8. These were instrumental leaders in the establishment of the church in Northern Africa. And at one time, Northern Africa was the epicenter of Christianity. But now you go to Northern Africa, it's mostly Islam. Europe, of course, was the epicenter of Christianity, historically, for a long time. Just 300 years ago, 250 years ago, 200 years ago, really, and England was the epicenter of Christianity. The great churches, the Charles Spurgeons and all these great preachers, G. Campbell Morgan, these British preachers. Go to England today, you can hardly find a Christian. But this line is growing rapidly in Europe. For our lifetime, everybody in this room, old people and young people, for our lifetime, the United States has been the epicenter of Christianity. Did you know that? We make up 5% of the Earth's population. Hear me. We make up 5% of the Earth's population. There are 8 billion people living on planet Earth, and there's about 330 million of us. We make up 5% of the Earth's population, but do you know that over 90% of the funding for world evangelism comes from this country? You know that? From this country. Yes, Christianity is growing in other parts of the world, but the funding is coming from this country. I believe that's why God keeps blessing this country. Because there is a remnant. I'm not talking about government money. I'm talking about people like you, places like this, that have made God's agenda their agenda. There is a remnant of faithful people in this country who still believe that God's agenda matters. And that's why God keeps blessing this country. It is the key to God's blessing on a nation as well as the church, as well as an individual. But isn't it exciting to know we're a part of something? If the next epicenter is sub-Saharan Africa, it's exciting to be a part of that. Nobody knows what the future holds for this country in terms of our spiritual heritage. I'm going to hang on as long as we can, but Christianity is always moving, and it's exciting to know. The church is never going to die, right? Never. It's going to always advance. Jesus said, I'm going to establish my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. It's going to keep going. Let's be a part of it. It's exciting to be a part of that. All right, let me give you a fourth reason why we ought to be mission-minded. It's a little more sober. We ought to be mission-minded because hell is real. Hell is real. Now, we live in interesting times. Christians don't really believe in hell anymore. We don't talk about that. Imagine David does, but we don't talk about that. Generally speaking. I'm in a lot of churches, almost every Sunday, and then I'm first going to talk about that. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. Number one, we don't want to believe in that. We can't bear the thought of people that we love and know going to hell, so we just don't think about it. We choose not to believe in it, even though the Bible talks about it. But there's another reason I think we don't really believe in hell or talk about hell, and that's because we don't want people saying, you're judging. I'm not judging, I'm just talking about hell. You're judging, you're condemning. Jesus didn't come to condemn, it's right there in the Bible. John 3:17, he didn't come to condemn. But then all John 3:18, which says the world was already condemned. Jesus came to save a condemned world from hell. That's why he came. Do you know who did believe in hell? Jesus believed in hell. In fact, as George Fall rightly said, everything we know about hell, we learned from Jesus. He believed in hell. He was motivated by the reality of hell. That's why he came. That's why he left heaven. That's why he was born in a barn. That's why he walked, you know, the earth for 30 years. That's why he went to the cross. He didn't have to go to the cross. He said, no man takes my life from me. I freely give it up. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he suffered. That's why he rose from the dead. Jesus believed in hell. Jesus said the road to hell is wide and many are there upon. The road to heaven is narrow and few there be upon. See to it that you're on the narrow road. Folks, we're never going to be evangelistic. We're never going to be mission-minded until we really believe in the hell of Jesus believed. There used to be a great preacher. He's gone now, but by the name of Wayne Smith. Maybe you know that name, Wayne Smith, from Lexington, Kentucky. And Wayne, he preached 40-some years at Southland Christian Church in Lexington. And he used to put the title of a sermon out on the marquee in front of the church. And one week he put the title of a sermon, Six People I'd Like to Send to Hell. And everybody thought, what in the world? Well, church was packed on Sunday, right? Everybody wanted to see these six people where the brother Wayne wanted to send to hell. And so the point of the sermon was, I'd like to take these six people and send them to hell for one day. He wanted to send the governor of Kentucky to hell for a day. The head of the school board of Lexington. Chairman of the elders. Anyway, he had six people that he said, if I could send them to hell for one day and then bring them back, he said, our church, our community, the city of Lexington, our state will be transformed. I think he's onto something. I think he's right. What would happen someday if we could send this church to hell for 1 hour? Imagine that. We go to hell for 1 hour. We get out, we still got time to, we won't be the Baptist at lunch, but we'll, they'll be leaving as we arrive, right? We can still go to lunch. What would happen if this church spent an hour in hell? Do you think we'd be more evangelistic? Would we be more mission-minded? Would we have to set up extra chairs next week because you're bringing your friends and your family who are lost to church? Hell is real. Alright, a fifth reason we ought to be mission-minded, let me wrap this up. It's kind of the opposite of that, is that we've got the good news, right? We've got good news. Yes, hell is real. But we've got good news. And you heard the four F's of the gospel. There's a Father who loves you, there's forgiveness of all your sins, there's a family that you become a part of, and there's a future in heaven. Isn't that good news? We have the good news. You know, there's a lot of problems in the world. And in the world of missions, a lot of people misunderstand the purpose of missions and misappropriate mission ethics. There's a lot of problems in the world. Clean water is a problem. Illiteracy is a problem. Sex trafficking is a problem. A lot of problems in the world. Racism is a problem. But you know, if you take all those problems and you add them together, they do not equal the number one problem. Do you know what the number one problem is facing mankind? The number one problem is sin. Sin. You know why? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And Romans 6:23 says, and the wages of sin is what? Say it again. Death. Eternal separation from God. That's the biggest problem. And the biggest problem we face is sin and the reality of hell. Then the greatest thing we can do with our time and our efforts and our resources is to invest those things in getting lost people saved. We have the good news. All right, last point. You know, we're mission-minded, because Jesus told us to. All people matter. It gives us a sense of purpose. Hell is real. We've got the good news. And sixth reason is because it's the key to God's blessing. It really is. I'm convinced of that. I believe it's the reason God blesses this nation. It's so remnant of people invested. I mean, God can fund his agenda any way he wants. Okay? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. But God's going to bless a nation where there's a remnant of people still investing in spreading his agenda around the world. God's going to bless the church. God's going to bless you as an individual when you make his agenda your agenda. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus said, when you give a banquet, don't invite the rich and the famous. He said, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, and you will be blessed. It is the key to God's blessing. When we finished that weekend at Tomoka, after the church service, my wife and I, just two of us, and the people lining up to sponsor our kids. We've never seen anything like it. Line up to sponsor kids. And I'm standing there with my wife, and she's signing people up. And Joe Pulley comes walking by. Now, if you ever met Joe, right, he's not what he's not your typical, you know, type A personality CEO mega church preacher. He's you know, he looks like he could be the barista at Starbucks. I mean, he's a good preacher, but he's just not what you picture, you know. Joe kept walking by, and I said, Joe, let me ask you, you know, I know how preachers say, because I'm like, right? I said, Joe, let me ask you a question. I said, does it concern you seeing all these people signing up to sponsor our kids and giving money every month to support these kids in this program? I said, does that concern you a little bit? And look at the line. What he said? He said, no. He said, it's all God's money. It's all God's money. And he said, besides, we always have plenty here too. You see how it works? A great commitment to the Great Commission makes a great church. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I pray that we've been challenged as a congregation, as individuals, as leaders, to make your agenda our agenda. And that's right here in Harlem. That's our Jerusalem. Beyond the city limits of Judea. And across the tracks, Lord, and around the world. Lord, I pray we'll up our game. I pray we will invest more and more in your agenda around the world. Lord, I pray that the things that stir your heart will stir our hearts. Give us your eyes. Help us see the world the way you see it. It's so easy to lose sight of that. Give us your eyes. Give us your heart. Your vision for the world until Jesus comes again. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for that. Now, just a reminder to us all that that's that great commission, the one that they preach over in Africa.